Whose parents would rather have them saying epitaph, if you will, stretching the truth, if you will, and saying anything except that they were at the masjid, or that they were doing qiyam, or that they are part of Young Muslims, brothers or sisters, or that they are part of the Muslim Student Association, or that they are a part of some effort to learn more about the religion, and the parents are more content with hearing that I'm at the library studying to be that pre-med, biomedical, engineering doctor that you always want. And I can spend all night and take all kinds of courses, and the financing will be almost effortless. And then I say, Mom, Dad, they have this program and will only be up till midnight. Will really only be up till midnight. And all they're asking is that you drop me off, for those who are still young and not able to drive, drop me off, and then I'll be there, and then we'll have some lectures, and then we'll stay up for Qiyam, and then inshallah I'll come home. And if you can't drive me home, there are some older brothers, college students, inshallah will bring me home. And the first argument is, especially if in the nights of Ramadan, when some of these nights, blessed nights, fall on a Sunday, and the argument is in the school year, but you have school tomorrow morning. You're going to be so tired. You can't possibly achieve concentration, and we need you to get good grades. We want you to get good grades. We want you to succeed and get the 4.0. And then an invitation comes from another family. And the family say, we're just getting together, as Brother Nabar Ali Khan said so well, to celebrate that new house or celebrate that new car. And something goes wrong and the food doesn't arrive, so you don't eat till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And then someone has to have a presentation of a PowerPoint or a video or something of old movies and pictures from back God knows when. Of when we had nothing and we came with $2 to this country, and all those videos are there, and you're watching, and it's 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock, and the time for Isha prayer is gone, and it's 1 o'clock and it's Sunday night, and tomorrow is the school night. But not one person has gotten up to say, we didn't pray Isha. We didn't stop to remind you that tomorrow is a school day and we shouldn't be doing this. But if I mention that I'm going to the masjid or I'm going for Qiyam, the dunya begins, the shaitan comes and motivates the parent to say, I will keep you from this. I had a young boy who became a president of the MSA, and his father literally smacked him across his face and said, this is not what we expect you to be spending your time for. You have to go on and do better than I did. I was a blue-collar worker. You're going to become that doctor. And I bet you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and listening and praying, and we are praying to Allah to bless that young man for persevering, but he had to give up his position. He had to give up his position that may have drawn him closer to Allah, to the ibadat and the programs and the services, even more so than any career that he may have had as a doctor. We have husbands and wives stretching the truth to each other to say, instead of saying I'm going to be on a conference call, or that I have to send some emails for the convention, or for the organizing, or for the speakers, and to get in touch with them about logistics, and arranging this or that, I'm just going to be late at work. I'm just going to be a little bit delayed at work. And nobody argues when it's work, because work produces money, and money is the sake we're alive for. We can spend that money to buy more things, and we don't have any place to keep those things. But if he says, I have a conference call, and I'm going to be on with some brothers, and we have to discuss something, come on, you don't care about the family, you don't care about the house, you don't care about anything. Complain, complain, complain. And so people start to internalize in the developed sense that maybe if I say it differently, or maybe if I stretch the truth, something will, a different outcome will happen. Brothers and sisters, I'm studying as much as possible the identity, the process of formation of the identity. And believe me, the psychological strain that our young people are going through today, not because of their own doing, but because of the false expectations that we have set up for them, is tremendous for any young soul to bear. It is difficult to imagine that those young people have to live in several different domains and to learn to navigate those domains and to function effectively in those domains. To be able to do it in a way with sophistication and complexity and understanding. This in itself is not wrong. This in itself is not a problem, because we want them. We want them to be the best in their careers. We want them to be the best in their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want them to be the best in everything. But do we provide them the resources and the support system? And in the end, are we actually helping them to begin to live multiple lives such that they are afraid to tell us which life they're going to live? Because if it deals with dunya, I mean, if it deals with the deen, it seems as if it will come down hard on them. And parents and children, it's a message to both of us together. I'm raising two boys, and the reminder is first to myself and to no one else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that you will find the worst person is the one who is double-faced. He meets one group of people with one side of his face, while another group of the people with another side. And this is not what I'm talking about. This is not the same as what we are saying that our children have multiple IDs, identities. In the different domains in which they function, they have to learn to highlight certain identities in the high school, in college, in their jobs, in their internship, in their fellowships, whatever it is, in their relationship with their parents and their siblings. But depending on whether or not there are social supports to help them cope with these multiple identities, I fear that many times we end up rationalizing and justifying the fact that we are in fact minimizing aspects of our religion. Oh, well, I don't always wear this hijab. It's just on certain days I feel, you know, kind of holy and closer to God. Or I don't always wear this, you know, beard. I mean, if you want, or uncomfortable by this hair, I can always just tuck it in, right? Or unzip it maybe and put it away so that you're okay. Or that we start to misstate religious beliefs. Oh, it doesn't really say cut off their hands. It's kind of a sophisticated understanding. I can't really explain it to you, but it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, stoning anyone or cutting the hands off. Right? It's not really about like covering the hair for like it's not really obligated. Come on! Who are we fooling? If these people have even the most common sense, even while you're out there lying to them about the religion, misstating the beliefs, if they have a little bit of common sense, they can pull out their trio, go on the internet, Google, and hit hijab, and they'll come up with the answers right there and there, and then say, man, what is wrong with you that you are a hypocrite? That you say things that you don't even believe in. And I have it right here. These are non-Muslims. And they're saying, look at the answer. Why are you doing this to yourself? What are you trying to get ahead of? You don't think people will find out? You don't think people will come to know about you? And the inclination is always to take the easy path. The easy path. And the easiest path often, not in the sense of ease in the human sense, the easiest path of a psychological sense, the one with least distress, the one with the least feeling of guilt and shame, is often the one that is engendered from a shaitanic impulse, a signal that is sent telepathically to relieve the heart of anxiety. And Allah subhanahu says, don't be part-time Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi sinmi kafa. That enter into this religion, into this state of submission wholeheartedly. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Indeed, he is to you an avowed enemy, a stated enemy, an enemy that doesn't waver. And in fact, the strongest of us, especially the ones of us who are given this responsibility to call, we are the ones often most vulnerable at living a hypocritical life. And the reminder is always to myself first before I tell anyone else anything else. So when we talk about this two-facedness or this multiple-facedness, let us talk about identity, because it gives it a positive connotation. Because if there is a problem with being a munafiq in the aqidah domain, then that's something that the scholars will have to address. But if it is conduct, if it is strictly minimizing the importance of religion, of stretching the truth, of misstating beliefs, there is indeed a better way out. There is indeed a better way to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us also that the more often you do this, the more often you engender doubt in yourself. From the guidance that he has sent, often it takes over and over and over, and it becomes a part of your personality. And so it happens with such ease that you flow in and out of these identities, as if to say that you are not even thinking, that you are doing it unconsciously, subconsciously, and just going about life. Say, man, I got this thing down, right? In the heyday, it used to be the big story was, well, she wears the hijab until the parking lot, and then she takes off the hijab and then she goes into school. Or the brother is like, he's heading to the library, and then he takes like a detour, and he goes to the nightclub, right? I mean, this was in the heyday of talking about the two lives. Now, mashallah, those who attend conventions and to whom we share these reminders with, we are, inshallah, far away from that. Inshallah, we are not living a life of distress, that we are outright disobeying Allah. But there can come times when we attempt to leave, and this is not my combination, by the way, so the fireworks are just in a sideshow. So don't think I'm ending with this thunderous reminder. It just happens to be that Allah is sending the freedom fireworks next door, so it's not my doing. That it is a disease, and Allah calls this it is a disease. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the beginning verses, He says, "Fi qulubihim marad, fazadahum Allahu marad." That in their hearts is a disease, and Allah increases the disease and increases the torment, a highest torment. Bima kanu yakhdibun. That it's based on all their lives that went ahead. If your heart is not content, if you're living this life of slipping in and out of these different existences, and at the same time you're displeasing Allah, that is not the multiple identities of which we speak. We want you to have positive and stable identities in all aspects of this life, but that is not what we're talking about. But is there an outlet? Are there some strategies? And in closing, I can say at least a few things. In the Quran, Allah speaks about the Bedouins, the desert Arabs. In Surah Tawbah, Allah says, certain of the desert Arabs round about you are hypocrites, as well as among the Medinan people. They are ostensibly in hypocrisy. You know them not. We know them. Twice shall we punish them. In addition, shall they be sent a grievous penalty. And the next verse, 102, says, others have acknowledged, and this is the group that we want to be in case we're slipping in and out and displeasing Allah. Allah says, there are others who have acknowledged their wrongdoing, where they mixed an act that was good with another that was evil. Perhaps Allah will turn unto them, for Allah is all forgiven, merciful. We want to be in that category because we may, out of human weakness, have mixed an act of good. Mom and Dad, I was going to Qiyam, and I told you that I was studying, but I wasn't studying. You see, I was studying to get closer to Allah, but I wasn't studying biochemistry or biology or biomedical engineering. I was just trying to get closer to Allah. And the test for the parents is, are you willing to accept? Are you willing to accept the answers that the children give you if, inshaAllah ta'ala, they are not in fact lying outright? If that is in fact what they are doing. Because I would rather have them tell you the truth, look you in the face and say, Mom and Dad. You know, there's an example I always give it's a story that they say about a young boy going home with his mom and dad after Jummah prayer. And the boy is just crying and crying and crying, and the mom is frustrated and the dad is frustrated, and they keep looking at the boy and saying, what's wrong with you? And proverbially it's a folk tale, so in fact the daddy, he turns around and tries to, you know, tap the boy and say, stop crying. And finally the boy says, you know why I'm crying? Because the imam said, you need to grow up in a good household and I'm going home with you two. So there may be some of this going on. And then these children may be doing this, but we want them to say the truth. We want them to be the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who as youth said to their parents, and I don't have enough time to go into all of them, that if I had 1,000 souls, and each one of those, if you had 1,000 souls, and each soul died, and I would still be on this path, this message, I wouldn't change, I wouldn't lie, I wouldn't minimize. And the closing reminder from Surah Imran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also, to be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord and for a garden, whose the Jannah, the garden, whose width is equal or expansive as the heavens and the earth, and prepared for the righteous. And in another verse also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who having done something to be ashamed of, or wronged their own souls, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ, they wronged their own souls, earnestly bring Allah to mind, and then ask for forgiveness for their sins, and they remember Allah much. And who can forgive Allah? Who can forgive sins except Allah? And they are never obstinate or stubborn in persisting in knowing in the wrong that they have done. SubhanAllah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, the way forward is simple. Let us have mutually transformative exchanges with our children. If they have something to say, let them admit it to us. If they have something wrong they have done, let them admit it to us. Let them have an open relationship. Let them not make up excuses. Let them not see us, say something and do something else. Let them not be the children who make up excuses and just to survive a moment. And another story to close, where a little boy broke a glass, and the father said, "Who did that?" And the boy started running around, and the father was chasing him, and said, "Who did that? And who did that?" And he couldn't get the boy. He kept running, and the boy got into a corner. The boy got to a corner knowing he was going to get a sound reminder. And suddenly he said, turned around and turned this way. He said, turned to the king and said, "Allahu Akbar."